Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shipping and Handling. I am your host, Jennifer Udden.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget Smith.
Two episodes in a row.
Hi!
Look at us. Doing great.
We're recording this one in person.
In person! It took us a full 20 minutes to figure out how to work the microphones.
How do I use this again?
I keep hoping. If you hear a little jingling in the background, it's because our studio audience has joined us. Well, he considers joining us. Now he has joined us, but sometimes he decides that we're boring.
He may come and go.
But
hopefully he will not have much to say.
Exactly, yes. He is adorable, but he is real loud. So so today we wanted to take a stab at doing a version of something I did on Twitter a couple weeks ago, which was to basically help people get their pitches ready for PitMad and various other pitch contests. Should we tell people what that is for people who don't know what that is?
So there are a lot of pitch parties on Twitter where you can pitch your book in 280 characters with a specific hashtag, and agents and editors will hopefully look at the hashtags and pick out things to request, and then you can send them the actual full query, sometimes the full manuscript, whatever they actually want to see.
DV Pit is another big one that focuses on works by authors from underrepresented backgrounds. There's sometimes genre-specific pitch events, like for SFF or horror. I know there's a big horror one that happens, like, every October, I think. They kept inviting me to participate, and I was never able to do it. And I'm like, I'll never be able to do it again. But so we asked on Twitter and via email for you to send your pitches if you wanted us to kind of take a crack at them. And gratifyingly, several of you did. So let's start with, I think, we have a first one from Joanna, who recently left their agent and is on the hunt for a new one. So I'll read this out, and we can take it from there. So, Parable of the Sower, X Station 11. As siblings road trip through a world ravaged by climate change to find their father, they discover they hold the key to survival outside the oases, walled cities for the 1%, but sharing that secret requires sacrificing their dreams. Hashtag YA, hashtag PitMad. Comps are pretty good, although Station 11's a little old at this point. And Parable of the Sower is like a big classic, so.
Yeah. I think it does convey the sort of tone of the book well. I think they work well. I mean, presumably. I have a very clear picture. Yeah. I don't know whether it matches the book, but I have like a sense of what you're trying to achieve with that. And this is a nice, clear pitch. But the thing, what I'm running up against is I don't think it sounds specific enough in order to feel distinctive.
And I mean, even things getting as granular as like, how many siblings are we talking? Is this like sort of the Bobbsey twins, or it's like, you know, however six of them or whatever, or is it like two of them, or, you know, siblings could be any number of blood relations.
And I really want to know what their dreams are. That's sacrificing their dreams is so generic that I don't know, like, what does this actually cost?
Yeah.
What dreams can you have in this sort of post-apocalyptic climate changed world?
And, you know, presumably they are outside the oases, so there is survival outside. So
is it like only they can survive, or can
the more specific you can make it. One of the things about that I find very helpful about these sort of pitch contests is that it requires you to be very clear and very specific about like the specific hook of your book. And sometimes it takes a couple of iterations to find that, but the more specific and the more kind of
personal
you can make it.
This is an excellent tweet length synopsis of the book, but it doesn't necessarily jump off the page for me to be like, oh, I gotta read that.
I mean, and the other thing that I said a lot during the Twitter event that I did was that, you know, if someone is coming away from this with questions other than when can I read it, that presents problems, because you don't want people to sort of have to think through, oh, well, this could be that, or this could mean this. You want people to be like, oh yeah, that sounds dope, like I want to read that right now. What are their dreams?
So, yeah, I think you have to sort of think about what it really means to them, and focus on that.
Also, Joanna did a nice shout out to my newsletter. She's the best Joanna who does not have a room of her own. I feel that. All right, so let's move on to the next one. that is not. Okay, so this is one from Timothy, who says, on Stone River Station, everyone is born to work. When the station AI changes clones Yen and Yue's work groups, they try to find meaning amidst meaningless work. Searching for friends, they soon find themselves in rebel groups with designs on undoing management rules. Pitmad, hashtag Pitmad, hashtag A, hashtag SF. Oh, and he's got a co-writer, Adam. And twin. So I think that this first tagline on Stone River Station, everyone is born to work, is really interesting. But then immediately we sort of switch into that synopsis mode.
Yeah. Which, again, is like, it's very clear as a synopsis. It's just not gripping the way you really want it to be when all you have is a tweet.
Yeah. And things like, you also have to think about what information people need to understand the book. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think we need this station AI.
Yeah. And I am really wondering, I was like, okay, so it changes their work groups. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Is it like changing jobs, or is it like losing your family? I really need to know exactly what the specifics of that are.
I feel like, you know, if these two clones are trying to find meaning amidst meaningless work, you can almost just start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get into the sort of like searching for friends. Like, is the search for friends like a quest? Are there specific friends they're trying to find? Or are they trying to make friends?
Because yeah, that's like a whole other. This kind of sounds like a coming of age, but with like in space.
Yeah, but it's also hashtag adult, so that would confuse me. So, and also the phrase finding yourself, I don't love it as sort of a, because it's sort of low stakes.
Yeah, like, and it's sort of, it like,
today I found
what
myself.
Every story is,
I know,
about.
I found myself at a cafe today, just, you know, by happenstance. But so, you know, if there's a stronger way to present that, mm-hmm. like they're soon wrapped up in rebel groups. Are they competing rebel groups? Are they, you know, having to fight against each other? Like, what are they rebelling against? Is it the AI? Is there another group that they're... So this is another case where there's more questions than necessarily you want.
Also, with designs on undoing management rules, I'm like, that's a really low bar.
Yeah. Are they unionizing? Like, what is the...
I mean, if it is a story about clones unionizing on a spaceship, that sounds awesome.
You're burying the lead. Unionize the clones.
I think you're not making it sound as exciting as it could be.
As it could be, yeah. Burying the lead. Burying the lead. All right. So here's one from Claire. In a land where books are sacrificed to keep fire at bay, childhood enemies Anik and Asari must work together to find and finish the first book ever written before their world goes up in flames. Interesting.
Yes.
I'm going to take this and I'm going to copy it into Word and see how many.
Yeah, because
I feel
like there might be more space there.
Yeah. I feel like we said 280 words earlier, but it's definitely not.
Characters.
It's definitely characters in that. 38 words.
So click down there even.
Oh.
Nope, where it says.
Words. Okay, characters. Oh, nope, stop. What's happening? Oh, it's because I highlighted one word. It's like, what's happening? So 202. With characters with spaces, 202. So you definitely have room to expand this.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely intrigued, but I would like to know more.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this is that we want to know more in a good way, because there is it's very hooky. This is sort of the opposite of Fahrenheit 451, I guess. I'm intrigued by the connection between sacrificing books and like preventing forest fires. But
yeah. I'm like, is this a world where it's you can't have paper around?
Yeah.
Because it burns, or
yeah.
Like what's the deal here? And if so, is it?
Ooh, is this a chance for me to revisit my giant beef against The Name of the Wind? Where he's like so mad that they like ban him from the library when he brought a candle in, and they're like, literally the one rule is no fire in the room in the giant building full of paper, and he's like, they're just against me because I'm amazing, and I'm like, no, you're an asshole. Anyway, I would actually start with the childhood enemies.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that relationship, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love an enemies to friends / lovers, question mark. So if by starting with the relationship, like, why are they childhood enemies? Like, have always hated each other, but in a world where books are sacrificed to keep fire at bay, blah, blah, blah.
I think it's always good to start with the people.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of the movie In a World whenever it's whenever people start use that phrase.
I mean,
In a World.
I don't hate it. The thing is it works.
Yeah.
In a land. And,
yes.
Yeah. Does that mean that it's only this specific land that has this fire in books problem? Are there, like, other countries where they're like, why are y'all setting it on? Why are y'all destroying this? Don't you have hoses?
Why haven't they developed some other kind of information storing technology?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the Mesopotamians got angry enough about people who were about... salesmen who were ripping them off that they inscribed it in stones. So
I hate that I know that guy's name. Ian Nasir and his shitty copper. People were so mad about it. Also, I mean, must work together. That's another sort of find themselves kind of phrase. I mean, even must put aside their differences or, like, put aside their feud. Like, something a little stronger than work together, I think, would go a long way. Again, you have, like, 60 more characters, including spaces, to work with.
And partly, I think that their goal is a little bit unclear. I'm sort of like, why do they have to finish the first book ever written? Are they finishing reading it, or are they finishing writing it?
Yeah, because if it was already written, it presumably doesn't need to be rewritten.
Yes.
Unless they're restoring it.
Yes. And is it going to prevent their world from going up in flames? Is that what the time pressure is there? Yeah.
Like, what's the clock here?
Yeah. So I think you can expand on this a little bit.
Yeah. Also, this is hashtagged YA and fantasy. Alrighty. Okay, from Beth. So she's got a couple of... Yeah, let's do this. Okay. You want to read it?
Sure. Okay. Jurassic Park/Romancing the Stone. Grace loves her work, studying dinosaurs in their natural habitat. But when a group of ruthless poachers attack her lab, it's up to Grace and a rogue time agent to stop the crooks from pillaging the past. Hashtag SFFPit. Hashtag SFATTSFR. I don't know what...
time travel.
Oh, okay.
So... I like this because it's specific, it's punchy.
Yes, those comps are immediately intriguing.
The only issue I have with the comps is they're both media. They're both, like, non-book.
Well, Jurassic Park is a book.
But when you think Jurassic Park, you don't immediately think the Michael Crichton classic. You think the movie made of the Michael Crichton classic.
That doesn't bother me too much when it's just in this format. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not... I think it just... What I am looking for in this kind of a pitch comps here is like, a vibe.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting an extremely specific vibe, and I love it. So, also, in one of the other pitches, it sounds like the rogue time agent is, like, her ex, and there's, like, some sexy reunion times happening, which I'm also here for. So if there was a way to kind of work that in to this one, I think I might like it in this one. It's, like, after turning her ex in.
Oh, I don't think he's her ex. But that's all the more reason why if he is not...
Oh, I guess
you shouldn't
true.
Mention that at all. Okay. That just adds
that is,
in
that is
confusion.
Solid. This is an incredibly tiny note, but in the pitch that was sent via email, Grace loves her work, and then studying dinosaurs in their natural habitat is set aside with two dashes. You don't need two dashes. You only need one, because that extra dash is just a character
just
that you're
taking
like,
up.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that this, it's punchy. I understand immediately kind of the tone of the book, I think. I definitely don't think that you need the time travel or SFF Pit or even SFR.
Well, I mean, if it is SFF Pit, if that's the pitch contest,
yeah.
But yeah, the TT and SFR, I think, just add confusion and characters you could use elsewhere.
Let's read the first one too, so people can sort of see the difference. So this is another, she sent three examples. And the first one she sent was, Grace is a disgraced dinosaur scientist working to clear her name. Ben is the time agent sent to monitor her. When ruthless criminals attack their camp in the Jurassic, the two have to put aside their differences if they want to survive to warn the future. And then the hashtags. I like this idea of surviving to warn the future. Like, that's a kind of a fun idea as well, since it's time travel, but I think both are really hooky ways of describing the same book.
Yeah, I think that's nice and succinct and clear, and also sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we have via email.
Also, to go back to that really quickly, I think that is probably, I might do that with the comps because when you combine Jurassic Park with studying dinosaurs in their natural habitat, I assume clones rather than time travel dinosaur observation.
Yeah.
So I might make that clear.
All right. Twitter. Also, we had some very, very sweet replies to our most recent episode, so thank you everyone for
so glad you decided to come back
being so excited. I was just like, no one will care, people have moved on, there are other more interesting podcasts out there surely, but people still love us. So this one I really like. This one, we were tagged by Linz on Twitter. Practical magic / good omens. When I, 26F, spoke gibberish Latin to my sister, 28F, I didn't mean to open a door to purgatory and let a bunch of souls loose. At least one called Alice, ?F. I said, sorry, I'm trying to close the door, but IDK what I'm doing. Am I the asshole?
I love it.
I love this because it's such, I mean, I'm expecting humor, but I, even if you didn't use the good omens quote or good omens comp, and this is another one where people might think like it is a book, but it is also a TV show.
But it's only been a TV show for like a year.
I know. You know me. I'm just persnickety. But the vibe of this, this tweet is immediately the kind of humor that I can expect from the book. So yes, it does double duty.
At least I'm really hoping it is.
Yeah.
Because if you're pitching in this fashion and it's going to be like a really serious book,
yeah,
then this is a failure. But if it is a humorous, fun book, this is perfect.
The only thing that I would want is more information about who Alice is and why it's a problem that Alice...
Why is Alice the worst?
Yeah. Like, least of all, one called Alice who won't leave. This one is an image, so I can't actually, like, copy it to see how many characters it is, but it looks like there might be a little bit more room. But I think that this is really, really cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right. TL on Twitter says, Legendborn / Knives Out. Born to serve an alien species whose existence is hidden in global dragon lore, Evryn awaits their final return. But when a fellow protector is found murdered, she must find the truth and the killer in a society founded on deceit. There's a lot going on here.
Yes.
So Knives Out is an incredibly specific movie comp. And if you're going for sort of like locked room murder mystery,
I'm not getting that at all from the rest of it.
Yeah. And in which case, if you're going for like SFF, there are other better comps, I think, like, not to be self-serving, but Six Wakes is an excellent sort of like thing that might work. An alien species whose existence is everyone awaits their final return. A fellow protector is found murdered. Protector of what?
Yeah, I think you can make that whole thing a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Like, Evryn is one member of Protector cult.
Yeah.
Awaiting the final return of alien species.
And also, why does she have to find the killer?
Yes.
Is
that her job? Is no one else doing
it? Is that a barrier to, like, the alien species' final return?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, it's good to solve murders, because murder is bad. Yes. But we need to know why this specific murder
her. And yeah, I really do want to know like what this murder has to do with the aliens.
Yeah.
And I'm also reading this, so society founded on deceit has me wondering, do the aliens really exist?
Yeah.
Is this just like a weird, is this like Scientology?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that if I think that's something to keep in mind. I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the question that I have.
I feel like it might be, I mean, let me know what you think about this, because it's a little bit, it's not quite deceitful, but it's sort of like omitting the truth a little bit. I feel like either leave out the alien species or leave out the global dragon lore.
Yes.
Because those are two different vibes. Am I expecting a space book or am I expecting a dragon book?
Yes.
Or am I expecting a cult book or a murder book? I feel like there's a lot
going on, and I think that it's just unnecessary information in a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it, I think you want to get across what the vibe actually is, but you don't need to explain everything.
Well, and this is another one where we don't know what she wants.
Yes.
Like, does she want their final return? Like, does she want to be, like, the good protector?
And that goes partly to, like, why is she the one who has to solve the murder?
Exactly.
Presumably, it's going to be something to do with, like, her goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the stakes for her. And so we don't know that from this.
Exactly. Okay, let's see if we have any others that we have been tagged in. It looks like the answer is no. This might be a very short episode. Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things about Twitch, I don't know anything about Twitch. I know it exists as a thing, but I'm too old to be on it. You know, one of the things about pitching a book, you know, when you're asked about the hook of your book or the log line, like, mm-hmm. even if you aren't working with like a character constraint, you want to be able to get across in a few sentences, preferably like no more than two or three.
Yeah.
The vibe, the characters, and the stakes
yes.
of the book. And the conflict, I guess, if you can manage it.
Yes. Yeah, I think the stakes are more important than the conflict.
Yeah.
Because, like, we really need to know why it matters, mm-hmm. what the story is. And, yeah, it really is such a short medium that
yeah.
you can err on the side of leaving out information.
Yeah.
Because, I can't tell you the number of times I have liked a pitch on Twitter and then gotten the query and been like, oh, this book is very different from what I was imagining in my head.
Mm-hmm. But like, I think, too, that, you know, leave out as much as, you know...
Is not confusing,
yeah. I think, is the key part. Because there's always, you know, there's only so much you can put into a query or into a, you know... Like, there's always going to be stuff that doesn't, like, make it to, like, the copy or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't want people to be confused looking yes. at it. Like, what kind of book is this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's why it's, like, I think if the dragon lore is a very important part of this book, then talk yeah. about that. But if it's just kind of, like, explaining how they study the aliens, then you
or
can,
how they hid the alien, they yeah. hid the existence of the aliens.
So, like, that's not important.
Yeah.
That is something that can be a pleasant surprise when people start reading the book.
Be like, oh, that's actually a really cool way to hide yeah. the alien existence. Sort of like how fucking Stargate with, like, the aliens are hidden in the pyramids, you know? So, sorry, I just love Stargate, so Stargate not used enough as a comp in my opinion, but I'm checking my Twitter to see if anyone's tagged me in anything. Nope. I don't know why I keep singing the fucking A-Team theme song when I check our various social mediums. All right, well, I guess this doesn't have to be a very long. I've been 25 minutes. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have a bunch of questions. We have some questions on Tumblr, so This is less of a comment and more of a statement from a cool shades non on Tumblr.
Less of a question, more of a comment. Phrased in the form of a question.
Why is it trendy for people to beg for a new adult category on Twitter when it makes it clear that they do not read any new adult or adult books? If you read adult books, it is clear that a huge portion of the protagonists are in their 20s. They're not wrong. I mean, I feel like there is a sort of desire/urge for books that sort of have YA vibes and sex with older protagonists mm-hmm. in them. So that's sort of the move behind like the crossover YA trend and like Wednesday books and things like that. But new adult as a thing is not really a thing.
Yeah, we tried for a few years and then it got pigeonholed real fast.
Because of erotica.
Yeah.
Which, you know, no shame yeah. in the game. But so that's why it isn't really a thing now. I mean, you can yeah. just call it crossover. You can call it, you know.
Yeah. Or just like, I mean, that's what so many of the rom-coms in the adult space right now
yeah.
are doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this person is very aware of that. I don't know why it's trendy, other than everyone has been inside for way too long and we need to go experience people in real spaces again.
Much of what has happened on the internet is just really a result of people just needing to go outside, yes. in my opinion. All right, here's an interesting question. Okay. Do you have advice for authors who were essential workers and have a different type of trauma from the past year than the rest of the book world? A lot of people in book world are acting like we all had the same experience, but I didn't quit my day job like we are so often told, and I feel very separated from people who were at home this whole time. Legit.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked a little bit about this last time.
Yeah, I think it's just like, this is going to be something that's going to happen. We're going to be encountering,
mm-hmm.
not just in book world, but yeah. everywhere. Just people had very different experiences, and
yeah.
some people had, like, the worst thing that happened to them was that they didn't see anyone for a year, and some yeah. people lost multiple family members.
Yeah. And some people worked, you know,
yeah.
endless shifts, and, you know, yeah. I mean, there was that thing going around that was, like, you know, the number of jobs needing to be filled in, like, the the fast food sector is almost equal to the number of people who died working in fast food jobs over the last...
Crazy how that happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that is something that you're going to encounter. And, you know, just, I guess, I mean, we are one of the two of the people who, like, had the least happen to us.
So. Yeah, I stayed inside for a year and that was
so, it. You know, but, you know, I think just if you can take any encouragement from us, just, you know, own your... truth, and don't let anyone tell you that what you experienced wasn't real or painful.
Yeah,
because it probably was. And
yeah, and I don't think that, like, you're, I mean, it's, there's not like any specific thing that is going to, that you can say to people who are acting, who are just home for the whole year, that's going to make it seem like you had the same experiences or make them, you can, I mean, you can say like, oh yeah, I was an essential worker, and like, I've had a really rough time this year.
Make everyone buy you drinks.
Yes.
The beverage of your choice.
Absolutely.
You should have bought for
every
you.
Every con you attend.
Every con. Just be like, I was a fucking nurse. Yes. Like, I delivered your food.
Yep.
Buy me a beverage. I feel like that's, you have earned that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I think that's just like one of those things where there's not really a specific kind of advice we can give that's going to make it better.
People are going to be assholes, and you're going to you will probably encounter some real dick bags out there. So don't let them grind you down. Archives. So we have a question on Tumblr that's probably real old, so I hope that you have
And they don't have dates on these.
I know. So. Tumblr, I mean, I sort of appreciate Tumblr because it's like the only linear science, like the only linear social media left. But it's also sort of like, when was this? I don't know. It doesn't even if when I click on the like give me more, it's like nope. When did this come in? I'll never tell. Wicked Goblin King asks, how do you handle a hybrid novel or fusion text submission? I'm assuming that you mean sort of like metafiction or things that combine different sorts of media, maybe?
Yeah.
We're not entirely sure what you mean, so if you are still interested in having us talk about this, please write in with more information, because probably have thoughts.
Yeah, but. I mean, I have one project that has, like, all kinds of, it does some really interesting things with format, just through text, mm-hmm. and, like, through italicizing things, and, like, right aligning things, mm-hmm. and capitalizing weirdly, and so the author just has a distinct style for each of these things that happens, and so you can see, like, as it shifts into what's happened, into, like, these other special situations, and it's incredibly clever the way mm-hmm. she handles it, and it's all just like font choices.
It's gonna be real fun to like
yes
copy edit and do the final
formatting.
Type set, but
oh my god, the people who did Technically You Started It by Lana Wood Johnson, which is just text messages. It's mm-hmm. like two characters and just like the entire text chain for them. And so one character is left aligned and one is right aligned. And like, they figured out how to do that in an ebook. It's amazing.
That's a witchcraft right there.
Some of them look better than others. I can't remember. I think it was the Apple book is the best looking of them, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardcover looks great.
Yeah.
They made little bubbles for the text. Aww. It's great.
Amazing. Do you have any new thoughts on the potential of a big four versus a big five situation? No thoughts that aren't endless screaming.
I hate it.
If you're unaware, Penguin Random House is buying / wants to buy.
Is attempting to, pending
antitrust review, which it should fail because that's ludicrous.
It's going to be like what?
Penguin Random Simon 50%? Schuster? Like,
yeah. Oh my god.
It's a bad, it's bad. It's not good.
Don't like
good.
It.
Don't
care
for care it.
Don't care for it.
I mean, we've seen...
And HarperCollins is buying Houghton Mifflin, which was not one of the big six,
and,
but is still further
consolidation. I mean, Houghton Mifflin is running out of money, but like, it's just... Houghton Mifflin needed to be bought, but it's not ideal. I mean, whenever there's one of these kind of big mergers, the problem is that we don't see the repercussions...
For years.
I mean, we'll see some of them right away.
Yes.
But...
If you have a book coming out with one of these publishers, that'll be shuffling around. You don't know who will keep their jobs.
But I mean, we didn't see final, like, PRH boilerplate for...
For years.
Years.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually you get down to where you think that it's all done, and then they just lay off people for, like... No reason.
And like it's the effects sort of just ripple down where it's there are just fewer places to sell books, mm-hmm. and fewer and less competition between them, and it's that is bad for authors.
Yeah,
you just don't.
Yeah,
that's it gives you less and less power, and yeah. already authors. Your bog standard author has very little power,
yeah.
unless you're one of the big money makers.
Well, and, you know, I think that we're going to see the biggest repercussions in the genre space because there's already so few of those imprints.
Yeah.
And, I mean, PRH didn't really do right by Ace.
No.
In that merger.
It's continuing to not
do well by Ace Rock.
And also Daw.
And when you think about Saga and what's been happening with Saga, like,
yeah.
what the fuck what is going to happen do? With Saga? Like, it's not going to be fun. So
and Houghton Mifflin had already closed theirs.
Yeah.
But
that was open for like a year and it only had like one book come out.
It was a couple of years.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they'd already closed that. But, you know, that was also not great. And
yeah.
Voyager has two editors. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a mess and we're not really going to see how big of a mess for years. I mean, I'm really hopeful that they just can't. It.
Yes.
But I mean,
it would be great if the government actually did something about that. It does. The one potential upside is that it makes them more powerful in the fight against Amazon. But I am not really super enthusiastic about Godzilla versus Kong book edition.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to be standing on the sidelines in that fight.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get stomped.
Exactly. All right. Another real old one. So reaching back. Hi, Jennifer and Bridget. Love the podcast and thanks so much for all the great info. What is the highest word count you would consider representing for a contemporary YA novel? I know the ideal is 60 to 80K, but would 85K be an automatic pass? Also, if a writer enters the first chapter of their novel into a contest and it gets published as a winner in an online lit mag, is that going to hinder possibilities for future publishing? The lit mag retains publishing rights for 3 months.
Okay, second question first. No, that's just for serial rights. So
yeah.
that's fine. And like you can also do... People do novels based on short stories that have been published all the time.
That's all the time.
Gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have signed a YA, that contemporary YA that was over 100,000. I wouldn't recommend that.
You can.
Yes. That one I looked at because I already knew I loved the writer's mm-hmm. writing.
Yeah.
That was if I saw that in like a query from a stranger, that would be a red flag.
The thing is that you earn the right to have genre busting word counts.
Yes.
I feel like. Yes. And by earn, I mean, you know, you have to, this author was a known quantity.
Yes.
So you knew that the quality was going to be good.
Yes.
But if you aren't familiar with their work, people are less likely.
Yes.
I mean, at every level, down to like the reader.
Yeah.
They're like, do I want to pick up a tome that's like a contemporary romance novel? Like, I don't know if I, or I don't know.
I mean,
if I do.
Like it worked for Red, White, and Royal Blue. But yeah, it's the longer it is, the more trust you have to earn from the reader. Just like in general, no matter who the reader is.
Yeah.
Like 85,000. This is like you're talking about like 7% longer than the average. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Where you get into like real problems, like 90, 100, mm-hmm. 110. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, what's going on here? They're teenagers. How much do they have to say? That's not true. I'm
teenagers talk a lot.
I know. I'm exaggerating, but all right. Let's see if there's any others. God damn it! That fucking song. All right. Well, that's all right.
Reply from my client Samantha Coho, who says, "Don't need this. I am perfect at pitching, which is why I let you all mine for me, since I don't need the practice anymore."
Amazing. Love it. Love that journey for us. All right. Well, we're at about the 40-minute mark. So, Bridget, what are you reading?
Oh, God. Nothing at the moment, actually.
You're like head empty, Kindle full of client manuscripts.
Yes. I just finished the Book of Speculation recently, and over this holiday weekend, I have mostly been watching TV until 1 a.m. and then doing crossword puzzles in bed. So, you know.
Sounds ideal.
All of my, that's like really wise achievements. But I did just pick up, I need to look up this author's name because I haven't started reading it yet.
Something I've never done in my life.
Yeah, I guess this is, yes. Fire Logic by Laurie J. Marks.
Yes!
Which I like suddenly started hearing a lot about. And I was like, let me... That has a cute new cover.
Every year at Sirens, someone is like, have you read the Fire Logic books? and I think I bought them, and I do I even still have them?
Well, they got a recent reissue from Small Beer Press.
Oh, nice.
So I ordered that recently along with a copy of In Other Lands by Sarah Rees Brennan. And they just sent me a third book as well, I guess as like a gift for ordering directly from them. And I was like, amazing. Thank you. I'm not going to knock this guitar off the wall.
Yeah, it's fine.
So yes, those two are next up. On my nightstand, but I haven't started them yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love Sarah Rees Brennan all the time, so I'm sure that one's going to be amazing.
You should. It will be delightful. Yes. I have not read it, but I know that it is great.
Yes.
But
What about you? What are you reading?
I am still reading this fucking 350,000 word Chinese novel in translation. It's called Heaven Officials Buzzing.
I mean, that's three books. It's fine.
It is so long. And I was so excited to start it because I watched the show. And the 14 episodes of this, animated show covers the first, 15% of the book. And I was like, there is so much story to still happen. So I'm working my way through that. I may finish that eventually. I don't know.
You'll die. Who knows?
Or I'll die. Who knows? But I also just got the first four Murderbot novellas that I borrowed from a friend. I had read All Systems Red ages ago, but I hadn't read any of the others. I don't know why. It just...
You know, you read the first book in a series and you're like, okay, I know what that is. And then you move on.
And so now I'm going to reread All Systems Red so I can read the other ones that she lent me so that I can, because I want to read the novel and you know, I do really like All Systems Red. So
I feel like half of the people I know are obsessed with those now.
Well, I feel like I was at the Nebulas one year and Martha Wells did a reading and her deadpan ass voice reading the murder was just this is 100% delightful and I want all of it. And she's just cranking them out. So
yeah, I've been saying for a year, I'm like, I should read those. I just have not actually done so.
I know. I feel like I need to read them. I need to either read them right now or I need to wait and take them all to Tennessee.
Oh my God, yes.
Right? Just on
love
the deck.
Vacation reading. And when you save something you know you're going to love so you can read it on the porch.
Just inject it directly into my veins.
Yes.
Well, that is all we have today. We would like to give a huge fucking shout out to Angeline. Who gave us a hugely generous donation on Ko-Fi and
in
says,
awe.
"I've missed your podcast and I'm glad you're back." And we just
so grateful.
Cannot thank you enough. That is it's our Libsyn fees for 3 months, or the tacos that we're gonna eat later tonight. Who can say?
Because we can go to restaurants.
We
now.
Can go to restaurants. I went to see a movie in the theaters the other day, and it was amazing. There were trailers and everything. So we really, really appreciate it. So thank you to anyone who has donated or left us a review. Actually, I wonder if we have any new reviews on iTunes. What's our reviews? Holy fucking shit! Are you fucking kidding me? Angeline, I knew your last name sounded familiar. You're just the New York Times best-selling fucking author, Firekeeper's Daughter. Oh my God! We have exited the earth.
I was like, wait.
I was like, surely it can't be the same. Oh my God.
Check.
Oh my God. Thank you.
So glad you enjoy the podcast.
I just need to be on the floor for many, many moments. Firekeeper's Daughter, everyone. It's really good. Everyone should go check it out. Holy shit. Bridget shoves her phone in my face look at this. Well,
I wasn't sure we wanted to blow her cover on air.
Well, I'll reply to her on Ko-Fi and be like, do you mind? We apparently have a 4.8 out of 5-star rating on iTunes.
Amazing.
Which is wild.
Thank you.
So thank you. Shout out to the person who gave us a 1-star review. But anyway, thank you to everyone. This is, oh my God, I'm going to be smiling for the next 10 years. thank you to everyone who has left a review, who has donated, who has sent in questions or something to pitch or critique. As always, if you ever have something you'd like us to talk about on air or a question, you can send us those questions at Ship and Handling on Twitter or via our Ask Box on Tumblr or via email at shippingandhandlingpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh my god, do I remember our Gmail address?
Do I? So this episode will hope, we recorded this episode on Monday, May 31st. It will hopefully go up on Thursday, June 3rd, if all goes well. But I'm freelance now, so I can do whatever I want. Thank you again to everybody. And until next time, happy reading. Bye.
Holy shit!